This episode of Unfiltered is brought to you by Google Gemini. U.S. college students get Gemini's Pro plan free for 1 year and use the best model in the world for multimodal understanding. So whether you're uploading a video to get feedback on your presentation, uploading a photo of your homework to ask for extra help, or transcribing notes from a lecture you missed, Gemini 3 Pro can help. I'm honestly so happy and excited for all the college students out there because I wish this was around back when I was in school. This is such a game changer and so useful. I'm honestly a little jealous. So if you want to try it out, sign up to get more access to Google's most accurate model, Gemini 3 Pro. Unlimited image uploads, pro-level image editing, higher limits in Notebook LM, Gemini in Gmail and Docs, 2 terabytes of storage, and more. All you have to do is visit gemini.google/students to learn more and sign up. Terms apply.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. The year, sometime in the immediate future. The situation, NATO versus Russia. I welcome General Blaine Holt, United States Air Force retired. He is the podcast master of Dangerous Intellectuals. He's here to comment because his major posting at the end of his career was as deputy in Brussels with NATO. And therefore, the procedures, all bureaucracy, all protocol, require Blaine's observation in a scenario that is now a rage in Europe. It's a new book I recommend to everyone. It's very short. You won't finish the airplane ride reading it. You'll finish before halfway through the trip. If Russia Wins, a scenario written by Carlo Massala, who, despite his name, is a German national and experienced in national security. The situation is this. It is March 2028. Russian troops move into the town of Narva. That's Estonia. It's an entirely Russian-speaking town, however, about 100 leagues from Petersburg. And they also move on an island in the Baltic Sea called Huma. They sit there. They don't move. They open vodka bottles. They celebrate liberating these Russian enclaves that, according to the Kremlin, have been abused by the Estonian government and people these many years. Estonia, a member of NATO, is now under attack. Therefore, what is to be done? Article 4 of the NATO treaty calls together all the principals, all 32 nations gathered in Brussels for an emergency meeting. Some of it might have been Zoom, but I picture them all in the room with their heads down. This is Dr. Strangelove gone sober. Blaine, a very good evening to you. The apparent assault on Estonia, it wouldn't be isolated, but calling Article 4 has a weight to it. What happens now when Estonia hasn't called Article 5, it called Article 4? What are the next steps? Good evening to you.
Good evening. It's a fascinating book because it builds on what we always try to do in war planning, which is building plausible scenarios that identify weaknesses and strengths in your plans. This one is particularly interesting. As far as the administrivia of NATO, Article 4 is to bring everybody together, and it's a precedent to Article 5, which is the declaration that an attack on one is an attack on all. That alone doesn't mean you're at World War III. It means that planning deliberations about what to do, if anything, with the alliance. In this case, the Russians have built a plan that capitalizes on that bureaucracy as its main reliance, that weakness in the Article 4, Article 5 deliberations are going to capitalize that there is no consensus in NATO, that the American president in this scenario is reticent to go all the way to Article 5, which will transmit weakness to Moscow over this town in Estonia. And I think you get some very realistic diplomatic dialogues behind the scenes. But a weakness of this scenario, and I see it often in NATO and American war planning, is they mimicked something that's already occurred in history. And so what you see with Naboo is basically a shadow of what we saw in Crimea when the so-called little green men took over and we were flummoxed and didn't know how to handle it. And we just let the Russians have it. Well, here we are again, and inside the dialogue pools, the other important element of the book, and I'll stop here, is it highlights the opportunity for miscalculation that can lead to nuclear ordnance in a very major way. That you hear the dialogues in Moscow, you hear the dialogues of the NATO bosses, and they're nothing like each other. And they're miscalculating what each other's strategic intent is. And that's what makes all this so very dangerous.
The Kremlin knows, the war planning knows, that the next step can be Russia's to show something that looks like escalation so that NATO no longer can think this is it. They're making speeches about reclaiming the dignity of the Russian people in who live in Narva under persecution, just the way they've made those speeches about Ukraine. The dignity of the Russian-speaking peoples in Ukraine who've been abused by the East, the Poles. Remember, Ukraine is not one nation. It's a combination of torn apart nations for several hundred years, not the least being in 1918 at the end of the First World, the Great Patriotic War. Half of the country is Polish-Lithuanian, at least dating back to the Middle Ages and the Enlightenment, and half the country is Russian. The Russian part makes these claims. They're making the same claims in Narva. But escalation. So what happens? A Russian submarine surfaces on an island that is claimed by Scandinavian countries. Spetsnaz team gets out, frogmen go on shore, open a bunch of bottles of vodka, leaving them behind as a signal, we can do this anywhere, and get back in their submarine and go away. NATO, they're escalating. The voices here are critical. But what strikes me, Blaine, and I need your help on this, is if no one is taking the lead, is the General Secretary convene this? Does he drive it like an auctioneer? Because it's clear from the book that a lot of those countries don't want to be in that room.
Yeah, you've got it exactly right. So if the United States, and in this book scenario, the United States is not wanting to take the lead, the president says himself, I'm not going to war over this town of Narva. But it then falls to the other leaders in Europe. And if no one assumes the leadership position, if you have a strong secretary general, then they are going to try to do that. And isn't that interesting? Because today we see the secretary general, Mark Rutte, doing exactly that as President Trump is looking for an off-ramp to the Ukraine-Russia war. The other part that I think is extremely important in this scenario book is that they pointed out while NATO's all focused on Russia as threat, they're not even thinking about the fact that maybe the Chinese and the Russians are working together, which in this scenario, they clearly were.
One more detail here to spin this. I did not realize that Article 5 needs to be called by the nation that's been attacked. I did not realize that. I thought it was an automatic. Everybody would agree that you've been attacked. This book turns on the fact that Estonia can be persuaded not to invoke Article 5. Intimidated. I even got the sense that Estonia wanted to call it, help us. But it was made clear that your future depends upon our ability to support you, and we're not going to if you invoke Article 5. Did you get a sense from the book that Estonia was intimidated?
Oh, they absolutely were. And then the way they wrapped up that general session when Estonia was calling for an Article 5 meeting and vote, they when the debate came down to they didn't have the consensus to get to Article 5. Instead of just leaving it there, the Secretary General, for the record, asked them to retract their request for Article 5 so as to save some sort of face. That happens routinely. And the place where outside of NATO where it happened, go back to the start of the Little Green Men War with Crimea, and you had Yulia Tymoshenko extolling how humiliated they were that they ever gave up nuclear weapons in Ukraine in the first place because all the Western promises had broken down around them.
What's going on off camera here? Are people rolling into place? Are they calling DEFCON 3? Are they taking the subs down in a new route? Are airplanes in the air? What, you've been through scenarios where they plan what happens next. Is that all underway while they debate?
Yes, while they debate, the Russian aggression will be evaluated. And even as a prudent step, you'll start to see nuclear forces start to come up on what we would call status, meaning they're on alert and they're ready because you can't truly know what the Russian intent is here. And so what we do is we cock the gun, so to speak, and we get it ready in case this is going to spiral out of control. And let's remember that in today's hybrid warfare environment, you could see other types of things that don't even look related, like attacks on the grid, attacks here at home, maybe a new terrorist thing happens, something to load you up so that you can't focus on the primary threat.
Would the famous movie in the 1960s was Failsafe. Would you be rolling bombers to their failsafe point at this, or is that too much?
It's a little too much in this particular case, but I certainly would have bombers getting ready to come up onto an alert status at their locations.
And for the military to cross the Atlantic, that's a tough one. And in fact, to my knowledge, they've not solved it. Would they be getting ready to roll onto those ships to transfer to England? Would that be happening even at the command level, even while NATO debates?
Well, we would do what we would call a PTDO, or a prepare to deploy order, and get all the stateside forces ready to go just in case. But there, right now, currently, I don't know that it'll always be this way. We have a fairly sizable force of U.S. forces and capabilities, more importantly, in Europe. In this particular scenario, they argue that if they had to go via the Suwalki Gap to defend Estonia, they would be sitting ducks for the Russians. That is very true. But at the same time, there are many other options that weren't covered in this scenario that can bring us into, let's say, putting a tourniquet on Estonia to reassure them. And honestly, I think that's what would happen here. We would go into what we call a reassurance mission so that we don't have an Estonia that feels that it's been vacated by NATO.
One more glimpse. If you see the Russians moving into positions of jump off, do you have to respond, even without NATO's permission?
Yes, you may want to respond, but what then guys like me in the National Security Council would urge the president is to look at what we call flexible deterrent options, meaning there's many other things indirectly we can do to dissuade the Moscow appetite to go on the tack that they're going on. Some of them financial, some of them are very, very clandestine, and some involve cost impositions that I don't think the Russians would want to pay. And so that's probably where our heads would be.
I'm speaking to General Blaine Holt, United States Air Force, retired and a veteran of NATO. He is also the master of Dangerous Intellectuals, a podcast. It is highly entertaining, and I recommend it entirely. But when we come back, we were entertained by a French submarine thriller. And what did I learn from it? This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
When it comes to broccoli salad, Ohio, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. Everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows that tangy zip. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip in all your favorite recipes. Buy now and get your tang on, Ohio.
This episode of Unfiltered is brought to you by Google Gemini. U.S. college students get Gemini's Pro plan free for 1 year and use the best model in the world for multimodal understanding. So whether you're uploading a video to get feedback on your presentation, uploading a photo of your homework to ask for extra help, or transcribing notes from a lecture you missed, Gemini 3 Pro can help. I'm honestly so happy and excited for all the college students out there because I wish this was around back when I was in school. This is such a game changer and so useful. I'm honestly a little jealous. So if you want to try it out, sign up to get more access to Google's most accurate model, Gemini 3 Pro. Unlimited image uploads, pro-level image editing, higher limits in Notebook LM, Gemini in Gmail and Docs, 2 terabytes of storage, and more. All you have to do is visit gemini.google/students to learn more and sign up. Terms apply.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.